So I got saved here like 6 years ago. I was literally like, I think the stage was right there. And I think I was like right. Oh, no. I was like right. I think like right here. I was right here. I got saved right in this spot right here. Isaac and the worship team, they were singing a song called Burning Ones. And then I had no idea what I was singing, but I was singing along because the words were on screen. And it was a cool song. And then I just felt like the impression of the Holy Spirit to get on my knees. My life changed. Amen. And then, and then a year after that, I became an intern. So I've been doing, and the reason I'm telling you this background is because something that what I'm talking about today, well, I'll tell you right now. So I've been doing full-time ministry for the past 5 years, like nonstop at all. Like I had not skipped a beat at all. And it's just because I'm in love with Jesus. I'm just so in love with Jesus. But here's the thing. What I'm going to talk about today is a conviction that's been on my heart for the past like 2 weeks. And it's something that I really wish I would have gotten years ago. But praise the Lord, we're going to get it now. Amen? Amen. Is that amen?
Amen?
Amen. So the title of today's message is Kingdom Come. Everyone say Kingdom Come. And this conviction that I've been having is that if I'm not walking like Jesus, because it's really easy to walk like Jesus in here, amen? Yeah. Come on, it's really easy to walk like Jesus when you're in church. Yeah. But it's completely different when you're out there in the world. And that has been my conviction, that if I'm not walking like Jesus asked, if I'm not walking like Jesus asked, then I'm not following him. Because it's so much more important out there than it is in here. Yeah. Here, it's easy here, amen? You're around Christians, everyone's friendly, everyone says hi, everyone smiles, everyone gets hugs. It's not so friendly out there, amen? Amen? And so I've had this, just this conviction, and so today, I want to speak from the heart. Because it's when I look at my life, I need to talk to you not from the place of youth leader, not from the place of the tech guy. Not from a place of children's ministry worker, because we can get so deceived in thinking that because those things are going well, that means that I'm doing okay. And it's so backwards, because ministry flows from relationship with God, not the other way around. If ministry is going well, it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm doing well. And so, and even though I've been doing full-time ministry for the past 5 years, and Sozo Youth is doing great. I said Sozo Youth is doing great. The children's ministry, I think the children's ministry is doing great under the leadership of Pastor Vegas, but give it up for Mother Hen. That's what the interns call her. We call her Mother Hen because she's a mom to all of us. Amen. And so I want to speak from a place of conviction, because just because my positions are going well, it doesn't stop me from continuing to seek Jesus personally. I am not called to seek Jesus through ministry. I'm called to seek Jesus in the secret place, in a personal relationship. And it needs to be ongoing. I got this shirt at a conference a couple months ago. I won't tell you the whole story, but this conference, God told me something so profound. And it was, he told me, Joel, you're nowhere near your limit, and you are just starting. Yeah. And he wasn't talking about ministry. At first, that's what I thought he was talking about. But that's not what he was talking about. He didn't say, hey, you're nowhere near your limits as far as ministry goes, or this is just the beginning for you and your ministry. Like, none of that. Someone say amen.
Amen.
He was talking about a personal relationship. He wasn't talking about Joel, the youth leader, Joel, the tech guy, Joel, the children's ministry, Joel, the interns. He wasn't talking about any of that. He's saying, Joel, me and you. Personal relationship with me and you. You are nowhere near your limit. I've been saved for 6 years, full-time ministry 5 years, and God's telling me, go deeper. Go deeper. And so I started going deeper. I started seeking God more. I'm not saying you guys have to read 10 chapters a day. I'm not saying you guys have to pray for 5 hours a day. Listen, the Holy Spirit is inside of every single one of you. You and God talk, and you guys figure out how you're going to get deeper. Amen?
Amen.
And so as I've been praying and meditating, just this conviction fell in my heart, and that's what I want to talk to you guys today is, is if I'm not looking like Jesus out there, then what am I doing? What am I doing? Amen? Amen. Amen. Turn to three people, give them a high five. I said, you guys are being nice. I'm saying three people. You have to, like, get everyone. High five. Sir, oh, hey. So, I don't know if you guys know this, but this is Daniel's father. And so, there's the point. There's the point to this. There's the point to this. So, I was talking to Daniel. He was like, yeah, they went on a bike ride for, it was a fundraiser. They went on a bike ride. How many miles was it? 42 miles. It's a 42-mile bike ride. But it's funny because Daniel was like, man, that's like the hardest one that we've ever done. And he's like, it doesn't help that we went the wrong way for 6 miles. I was like, what? Is it true? Yeah, he said that. So I guess someone had like kicked down like one of the signs where they were supposed to turn. And so they went the wrong way for like 6 miles. And oh. I am the sign. I don't want you guys to go the wrong way, amen. I don't want you guys to think that Christianity is something that it's not. I want to show you guys some authentic Christianity today, amen? Yeah. If we can put up our first point. Are you guys ready to be stretched a little bit? Yeah. Just a little bit. A little bit too much. I should probably tell you guys what my first point is. My first point is faith works. And for those of us who call ourselves believers, actions need to follow it. Yeah. Yeah. Or else it's not true faith. It's not true belief. Before we get into it, let's turn to Acts chapter 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Verses 1 through 10. Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement. We'll stay right here. What's the last verse? They were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. We need to be people that fill the world with wonder and amazement. Amen. See, Peter and John, and I was talking to the youth, a very similar message to this on Wednesday, is that God did not die on the cross so that you can spend an hour on Friday or on Saturday to go evangelize and tell people about Jesus. He died on the cross so that your life will be evangelizing. Yeah. It's a 24/7 thing. It's not a time set apart. It's your life set apart. Yeah. And it needs to be set apart so that that when we say that we're believers, we'll talk about it a little bit later, but there's signs that follow believers. People who say they believe. And if they're not following the believers, then you might not be a believer. Peter and John, they're going to the temple, and they're not going to evangelize. They're not going to go pray for people. They just want to go pray. But they encounter someone in need. They encounter someone in need, and they look at this person just like how Jesus would have seen them. Someone in need, someone that needs help. And I don't know how many people we cross every day that are hurting, that need help. And all they need, and honestly, all they need is just maybe someone say, "Hey, how are you doing today?" Maybe that's it. It can be as simple as that. Or it can be as bold as the Holy Spirit saying, "Hey, you're going to go pray for them." But we need to be people that fill, we need to be people of God that fill people who don't know God with wonder and amazement, because God is an amazing God. Amen? Amen. When I first got saved, I was filled with wonder and amazement, and I wanted to know who this God was. Amen? let's not go the wrong way for 6 miles, amen? Let's get this today and not be lukewarm, not be double-minded. The Bible says that a double-minded person is unstable in all his ways. And it says that, Jesus says, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out. There's two things I really don't like. I really don't like mineral water. Like, it's disgusting. It just is. And then I really don't like grapefruit. And then one day Shayla was like, hey, try this. This is really good. Okay, I trust her. So I thought. And I drink it, and it's grapefruit flavored mineral water. I'm like, oh, what is this? And she started laughing because she had forgotten that I don't like it. And so, church, let's not be grapefruit mineral water. Amen? Okay, now. Hey, to each of them. All right, back to point number one. Everyone say faith works. Faith works. Let's go to James chapter 2, verse 14. What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? Next verse. Sorry. Thank you. If a brother or sister is naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, depart in peace, be warm and filled, but you do not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Is what, church? Dead. Is dead. Now let's jump to John chapter 14, verse 12. Passage you referenced the scripture in morning prayer, if you guys were there. 14, sir. Sorry, John 14, 12. No, 14, 12. I'll just read it to you guys. Most assuredly, I want to say most assuredly. I say to you, he who believes, I want to say believes. Believe. Listen to it, he who believes, he who has faith, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you should ask in my... Sir, go back, sir. Go to 12. Oh, it is King James. Verily, verily, I say to you, say unto you. Can we get the new King James? It'll just help me a little bit better. I think, sorry, guys in the back, the King James was only for... it was only for the Holy Spirit Comforter one. It's okay, man. I'll read it again. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. He who believes in me. Everyone say believes. This is a statement. It's not an option. He who believes in me, there's a result of belief. And if there is no evidence or result or fruit of the belief, then we got to look at ourselves and say, do I really believe? If that's all you get today is the fact that God is going to do what he said in the Bible, that alone should give you the fear of God. If we truly believe that sin leads to death, If that was a belief of us, then that belief would produce actions in the positive. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Jesus. Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. Raising the dead, healing the sick. Blind people seeing, mute people talking. The deaf hearing. Demons being cast out. These are the signs that should be following every single one of us who call ourselves believers. That is the standard. And that is my conviction that I'm saying, Jesus, I'm not meeting that standard. And if I'm not meeting that standard, then do I truly believe? And I hope that is a... At first, the conviction was kind of sad. I was like, oh, man, Lord, how am I going to do this? But as I've been living with the conviction, I've grown to love it. I've grown to have that fire under my bosom to get going. Amen? That when I meet people on the street, when I meet people at a restaurant, that there's a fire inside of me that yearns and longs to tell them about the kingdom. Yeah. That's every single one of us. I'm sorry. Not sorry. That's not, that was not an oh moment. Come on. You just like saying oh. Let's move on. Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Do we have that, sir? There you go. Here's another one. You can say oh to this, okay, when I'm done. When I'm done. And these signs will follow those who believe. I want to say believe. Remember, faith without works is? Can't, this is James talking. James, brother of Jesus. Can faith save someone? No. No, faith and works, they go together. I won't say they go together. And these signs will. I won't say will. Will. If I say, hey, Pastor Drew, I will go to your house today. Is it an option or is it a statement? It's a fact. Not a fact because, you know. But it's a declaration. It will happen. It means that it's intentional. It's not like I'm not saying, hey, I might go to your house today. I might not. I might go to Isaac's. I don't know. Andy's pretty cute. You know? It's not like that. I will go to your house. It's intentional. And these signs will follow those who believe, those who have faith. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. We cannot settle for anything less than the standard that Jesus put for us. We can't. We can't. That brings me to my second point. Everyone say second point. You can put it up now, sir. Comfort needed. I want to say comfort needed. You guys want to turn there because this is from the King James Version. King James Version. 14:26. 14:26. But the Comforter. I want to say the Comforter. Which is the Holy Ghost. Ooh, you can say all of that. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. The reason I'm saying this is because we're going to need, because here's the way I see it. We get born again, and God, and Jesus didn't say, okay, you're going to get born again, and then you're going to go do ministry, and you're going to do all these things, and you're like, oh my gosh, how do I do these things? Well, God gave us the helper, but he also gave us a Comforter. Everyone say Comforter. I'm assuming he gave us a Comforter because we're probably going to go through some things where we're going to need a Comforter. You cannot, here's the thing. Here's my question to you guys. Some of us get our comfort from the wrong place. See, we are supernatural beings. I want to say I'm supernatural. And we cannot strive and we cannot reach for comfort in natural things because you are not a supernatural person. You can ask any alcoholic or drug addict. Are they ever satisfied? No. They're not. Because they're seeking comfort in something that's not meant to comfort them. Come on. Yeah. Are we out here? We cannot be comfortable with the world and comfortable with God at the same time. You are either comfortable with the world and uncomfortable with God, or you're comfortable with God and uncomfortable in the world. See, here's the thing. He, in a perfect world, it could be me and Jesus, and I'd be comfortable, and I'd be cool, and I'd be in my bubble, and no one would bother me. I would have no interaction with anyone, and I'd be the happiest person on the planet. But that is not the case, because Jesus loves me, but he loves people too. So here's the thing. It's me and Jesus, and when he says, hey, you got to step out and talk to this person about Jesus, I'm about to step in a place of uncomfortableness, because I'm going to be uncomfortable in the world. It's not comfortable, guys. It's not. But there's a place called the secret place. And it is that place where you shut the door and it's just you and Jesus and it's you and the Holy Spirit, and that's where you find your place of rest. We go to work 9 to 5, we get home, we watch TV for 3 hours, and then we wonder why our life is not changing. But I go to church on Sunday, I go to church on Wednesday, yes, but Monday, you're doing nothing. Tuesday, you're doing nothing. There's a study I read. I'll read it to you. According to a 2014 study by the Pew Research Center, 70% of the adult population in the United States identified themselves as Christians. They identify themselves as Christians. That's crazy. I don't even believe it. But people, there's a lot of people that are Christian by name, but they're not Christian by action in their lives. Your life needs to preach, guys. Amen. It's great to come to church, and it's great to hear good preaching, amen?
Amen.
But there's people that aren't here, and they're not going to come here until your life preaches to them. You guys, you, every single one of you, you're God's plan. Amen? Okay, where do I go here? Someone say amen. Comfort needed. Let's go to James chapter 4. Adulterers and adulterers, do you not know that friendship with the world is an enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously. None of you guys are excluded. Every single one is the Holy Spirit inside of you yearns jealously. I'll work on that. Jealously. For all of us. Not just our Sunday part of us. Not just our Wednesday part of us. But everything. And let today be the day of this salvation. Let today be the day where you say, Jesus, I've avoided you during the week. And I've put on my Christian hat on Sunday. I don't want a hat anymore. I want you inside of me and me inside of you. Amen. I want to go a little bit deeper. Amen? Yeah. Amen.
Amen?
Amen. Amen. We're almost done, guys. Last point. Point number three. So we're talking about, kingdom mind. So we're talking about we are the ones. Everyone say, I'm the one. Called to usher God's kingdom on this earth. It's us. Jesus, guys, Jesus is in heaven. I don't know if you guys know that. He's not out there in Israel right now, like praying for people and getting people, like, no, he's out there interceding for us. So that we can be, so we can choose to be uncomfortable and reach out to the one that doesn't know God. Number three, we have to be kingdom minded. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. This is Jesus talking to his disciples, and I'll just read it. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Someone say amen.
Amen.
For you single people, I don't see anything about praying for a wife. The very first verse, Jesus says, pray in this manner. And I don't see anything about praying for more money. I don't see that. Here's what I see. Jesus is our daily bread. Forgive us of our sins. Do not lead us in temptation. But one of the first things is your kingdom come. Your kingdom. And that happens through us, amen? See, to be kingdom-minded is to see problems not as problems. See, Jesus didn't die on the cross to fix our problems. I don't know if you guys know that. And that is an issue that a lot of people have had misconceptions with Christianity, because they think that once I accept Jesus in my heart, all of my problems are going to be fixed. Wow. Jesus did not die on the cross to fix your problems. Jesus died on the cross to fix you. He didn't die on the cross to fix your problems. He said, okay, you have a problem, but your problem is not your problem. The fact that you have a problem with that situation, that's your problem. Amen?
Yeah.
And so Jesus said, let's deal with why you have an issue with it. Let's deal with why you're complaining about it. Can I talk about complaining for a second? Here's what complaining says. Complaining says, God, if I was you, things would be different. I don't like how this is going. I don't like how that's going. I don't like how that person treated me. God, if I was you, God, things would be different. But there's so much irony in that. Someone say irony. Because the truth is, most likely, if, I'm going to add one word to that, right? One word. God, if I was you, things would be different. I'm going to add one word. God, if I was like you, things would be different. That's the truth. There's so much irony in that. Instead of complaining, say, God, if I was you, or if I had the power, I would do things differently. Be more like God, and things will be different. Amen? Be more like him. Be kingdom-minded. And so when you're kingdom-minded, you don't see your problems as problems. You see them as opportunities to usher in God's kingdom. Amen? I'll show you. You guys want to see it? Let's turn to John chapter 9, verse 1. You guys learning something? Now, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. This is good right here. I'm going to say while it is day. We are going to spend eternity in heaven. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. But we only have a short time here. When we get to heaven, we're not going to have the opportunity to step out in faith anymore. When we get into heaven, we're not going to have the opportunity to talk to our coworkers. Once we're done, we're done. This is the only shot you have to usher in the kingdom. This is the only shot to have to say, God, I want to be used completely and fully by you. God, do not reach the end of your life and have the regret of saying, God, I should have given you more. Give him more now, amen? Give him everything now. Because once it's over, it's over. You missed your shot to step out in faith. You missed your shot to pray for the sick and for them to be healed, to cast out demons, to raise the dead. These signs will follow those who believe, amen? I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva. I haven't done that since I was 2. He spat on the ground, made a clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went, washed, and came back seeing. Amen. Go back to verse 3. Totally missed this. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Yeah. Is it possible that we are trying to pray our problems away when really God is just waiting for his glory to be revealed in it? Yeah. Many things we want something, we want you guys ever want someone to disappear from your life? Maybe you're praying the wrong thing. Maybe you're saying, God, help me to have the patience and the love that you have for them. Especially if they're not a Christian. How important is our witness to them? Neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. Listen, your problems are not problems. They're opportunities for the works of God to be revealed in whatever it is. This kingdom-minded. This is a whole way. This is a whole different way of thinking and living. Amen? Amen. I'll end with this. Oh, stop it. Oh no. So I the Holy Spirit's awesome. I opened my phone today, right, to look at my notes, and half my notes were gone. I was like, oh my gosh. But it's a long story, but pretty much I turned off the internet on my computer, and so it saved my notes. And because I turned it off, I actually said save my notes. So I think the devil tried to take away half my sermon. Oh. Didn't work. Amen? All right, I'll end with this. Stop. I'm just a little bit nervous, all right? So I'm saying things over and over again. So... thank you. I love you too. We need to make sure that we're not deceived into thinking that because we come to church on Sunday and we come to church on Wednesday that we're Christians. Yeah. Jesus didn't die on the cross so that you can come to church. Jesus died on the cross so that you can be the church. Amen? And that's what we must be out there. Everyone say out there. People out there, they need it. And we need to be authentic Christians who we look at Jesus' life, we read the Gospels, we read what Peter and John and Paul did. That's the standard, guys. And if we're not meeting that standard, then we need to get in our prayer closet. We got to pray for some boldness. And let's be about our Father's business. Amen? Amen.
Amen, 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 amen. Oh, hallelujah. So this morning in prayer, I was just over here, and thank you, Joel. That was an excellent job, just outstanding. So I'm sitting over here, and you know, it's like, you know, sometimes I just come in here, and I just want to chill out. You know what I mean? I just want to just enjoy worship, and you know what I mean? And it was great, and Paul is such a blessing, and did a fine job. But I'm just over here minding my own business, and the Holy Spirit speaks to me, and he says, you know what? You've got to push through things. And and sometimes we just don't see ourselves as the kingdom come. Who is the usher of God's kingdom into this world? You are. Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. You are the person, you are the man on this earth, the conduit, thank you. The conduit. The point of contact. You are the point of contact. You are the connection between God's kingdom and this earthly kingdom. And he, what he wants you to do is bring his kingdom to this earth. You, through him. Is this making sense? And so what I heard this morning, you got to push through this stuff. You know what? This, I can't. I'm not. You know what? Don't. Tell yourself who you are. That is so, you know what that is? Idolatry. You're making yourself God. You are not God. Let him tell you who you are. I saw a, I don't know when it was, 6 months ago, I saw a video of me when I was 19. And Fred and Aline can attest to this. I was so shy. You talk about a shy George. I was so shy, and it was shocking to me how reserved I was. It's like, wow, trip out. Why? Because at some point in time, I stopped telling myself who I was, and I started letting God tell me who I was. And when you start letting God tell you who you are, now you can start being used of God. God wants to use you in a crazy, mightily way. Okay, so I'll just show you right. Jesus, you ever see something you're like, oh, I never saw that before. Because I knew that Jesus said, how many know Jesus said, I'm the light of the world? How many know Jesus said, you're the light of the world? Well, which one is it? Jesus is going to tell you right here. John chapter 9, verse 5. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. Who's the light of the world now? Jesus said, it's not me. See, God is speaking to us. God is saying, you bring the kingdom in. You know, let me just brag for a little while. You know what? Isaac, in the last, I don't know. I don't want to pin it down. But for certainly in the last year, has really stepped up to come along, Tamara and I, and to befriend us and to tell us. And he never told, no, I want you to know I'm totally behind you. Never said that. Never said that. But in the last year, and I'm not saying, because I always knew that he was behind us and for us. But in the last year, he has stepped, I mean, big time, stepped up to the plate and just started walking in that anointing that Tamara and I need for him to walk in, that's going to help us to walk in our anointing. And he not only has done that to befriend Tamara and myself, but he's also just stepped up as a leader in the praise and worship. I'm just tremendously. So I'm going to stop, but I hear God speaking to us with great clarity, saying, you're that person. And you're not that person like Isaac is that person. Because we don't need another Isaac. We already have an Isaac. But we need Isaac to do his share. We need Joel to do. That's what the Holy Spirit is speaking to Joel. Hey, Joel, you got to step it up. And I believe that message, he's speaking to all of us. How many could say, before listen to the question before you say yes, because I want you to really listen to it to respond. How many would say that you sense that, and that you know that God is stepping you up to go to a higher place? And it might be a little scary, but you want to step out and say, man, I want to be the minister to my family. I want to be that person who starts bringing their Bible into work. I want to be that person who starts to be a witness in where I'm at, wherever that is. If that's you, see, Joel, how many people you ministered today. Father, we just thank you, God, for you speaking to us. Thank you for ministering to us. Thank you that these people who have their hands, they want to be used by you. So Holy Spirit, who is the comforter and he is the helper, help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Honey, come and do some announcements.
I love the black and the white and the red look.
You like that, huh? I don't have the announcements up here. Someone will bring those to me. No, they're not there. So I wanted to just add something to what Pastor Drew just said. And it really, as he spoke of Isaac and Joel, I recently said to somebody who's part of our body, we would like you to come along and be part of, there was something that was going on. We want you to come along and be part of that because we want to mentor you to be one of us. And later on we were speaking and the person said, I don't understand. I thought I was one of you. I'm here. I'm part of the body. Hope is my home. I thought I was one of you. And as you were speaking of Isaac and Joel, and Isaac's been here, you know what, for many years. Joel, I think you've been with us about six and a half years. There's never been a time that I haven't known that Isaac's part of this body, that Joel's part of this body. But with Joel, here's what it is. Here's what I meant. I don't mean just part of the congregation. There are people here at Hope who are pressing more. You see, here's how growth comes. When each one of us does our share. I thought about coming. See, I'm going to blow it now. I thought about coming and one day just announcing to you all, you know what, that that Pastor Drew and I would be leaving, that we're no longer going to reside here in Southern California, and that we're leaving. Why would I say that? Because I want you to feel what that would feel like. Did you feel it? We're gone. Did you feel it? That's what I feel when people leave this body all the time. For silly reasons. They do not have a commitment to God. They do not understand that God is the one who plants you in a house. And that in that house, you have a plan and a purpose of God to do what he has for you to do. Here's the, you know what? When I said one of us, there is a group of people here that have grabbed the call of God on their life and just have never let go. And it's not because it's been this perfect, smooth road. Have we had perfect, smooth roads, Isaac? No, we've had some pretty bumpy spots every once in a while. But never, even in the bumpy spots, I've always known the loyalty that Isaac has. I've never lost one wink of sleep. Wonder what Isaac's gonna do. Wonder what Joel's gonna do. Do you understand that? There's people who make this not about me and Pastor Drew. This is about God for these two men. It's God. And so the bumps don't matter because it's God. And so we got to figure out how to get through the bumps, right? Isn't that what we do in our marriages? We're supposed to. Isn't that what we do with our children? Do you have a perfect, you know what, relationship with your kids? Never a bump? No. And yet we don't try and lay them down as relationships in our life and wash our hands of that. I mean, some people do. But that's not of God. Does that make sense? We need to, what God is calling us to right now, and it's probably been, I can track this back to about 9 months ago, when God just started saying, come closer. You know what, we're getting ready, come on. And God has a part for every one of us to what he's about to do here. But we need to be with him so that we can stay faithful and loyal to the call that he has for us. Amen? Amen?